John 5 and verse 1 says, "And after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in the Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. And in these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. And whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well by whatever disease he had. And there was a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that he had already been in that condition a long time. And he said to him, 'Do you want to be made well? Do you want to be healed?' And the sick man answered him and said, 'Sir, I don't have anybody to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I am coming, another steps down before me.' And Jesus said to him, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk.' And immediately the man was made well. He took up his bed and walked. That day was the Sabbath." Let's pray. Father, we love the Word of God. And we know, Lord, you are our teacher. I don't want to be anything here other but a mouthpiece or just a vessel through which you can flow. And I'm thankful and honored that you can use me that way. And that's all I desire. But Father, for you to speak through this mouthpiece this morning, for the very Spirit of God to speak the Word of God, the words of life into our hearts, and touch us today. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you have ever been stuck in the mud? You backed your car off into a wet spot. Most of us have done that at one time or another. And when you first feel that tire give, and you're like, oh no. You know it. And usually we make it worse. Right? Because you hit that gas and that tire just digs deeper in the hole, and now you're really stuck. And I've seen people stuck and somebody come to pull them out and they get stuck. And it's such a helpless feeling when you're out maybe in the middle of nowhere and you're really stuck. I want to talk today to people who are stuck. You're stuck in the mud of life. You're stuck in the mess that you're in. You're just stuck. And you feel like you can't move forward. You can't move backwards. It's like I've been here in this place and I can't seem to go anywhere. I can't seem to move. God's got an answer for you. You don't have to stay where you are. God wants to bring you out of that place that you're in. This couple was driving down they were out in a rural area. They were driving down a dirt road and they got stuck in a big mud puddle on the road. They tried and tried to, they pushed and they did everything they could to get out of the mess that they were in. They were out in the middle of nowhere, and they finally just realized, we can't get out. What are we going to do? And this farmer comes by in a wagon and four big horses, and he stops. He says, "Can I help you? I'm a local farmer here." And they said, "Yeah, we're stuck. We need some help." He said, "Well, I'll get you out for $100. And they said, "Sure, we need to get out." So they gave the man the $100, and he hooked up the horses and pulled the car out. And he turned to the couple and he said, you guys are the 10th car I've pulled out today. And the couple said, "That's amazing." And they said, when do you have time to do your farming? When do you have time to work your farm? I guess you have to do that at night. He said, "No, at night I'm out here putting more water in this hole." Pretty smart farmer. Sometimes we get in a place where we're stuck. We don't know what to do. We're not really content. We're not really happy. We want to move forward. We want to go somewhere. But it's like we can't. That describes our story today. We have a guy here in this story that is stuck. He's stuck in a bad condition. life's really thrown him a curveball. He's in a bad situation, and he doesn't know what to do. 38 years he's been in this condition. That doesn't say he's been laying at Bethesda for 38 years, but for 38 years he had been in this condition. And it's very possible that he'd been coming to this pool for a very long time, hoping to be healed, because of the tradition that the angel would come, and when the waters were stirred at Bethesda, it's a live spring, and every once in a while the waters from the hillside will come bubbling into that spring, and it bubbles up. And when it bubbles up, the water is stirred. And their tradition was that when the water was bubbling and the water was stirred, that if you would get into the water, you would be healed. It's not germane to our story this morning whether an angel really came down and stirred the waters or whether that was a tradition of that time. That's not important to what happens here. Bethesda means house of mercy. And so these people had gathered. It means house of mercy or place of outpouring. House of mercy, house of grace, house of blessing, a place of outpouring. And these people had gathered by this pool, and that pool became their focus. They were focused on something that they believed would bring them hope, would bring them healing, would bring them help. We look in a lot of different places, right, for help. Right now, the enemy, the God of this age, has so many things that he makes so much noise, and he has people so distracted and looking in so many different places for the answer, rather than where the real answer is. And the enemy's done a great job of deceiving our minds. He has painted religion, Christianity. He has painted anything in that. He has painted it in such a negative light that the world, they don't even want to look at it. So they look everywhere else thinking that that's going to help me. That's going to save me. That's going to make me happy. That's going to bring me peace. And people are finding out that all the stuff that's been painted for them and portrayed is full of nothing. It's full of emptiness. So the house of mercy has become a house of misery. And in this place, it says it was full of sick people, lame people, blind people, paralyzed people. It's a sad, sad place. All these sick people laying around with no hope, no answer, hoping just for a chance that a healing might come, if they could get into the water, if they could be healed, and they're all waiting. What a picture of our human condition. I get a little amazed when people want to blame God for the condition of the world. I hear people say, I have trouble believing in God, that a loving God, that a God like you believe in, would let the world be in the mess that it's in. How can there be a God? My answer to you is simple. God didn't do this. God has nothing to do with it. We did it. We made the mess. The Bible says that God turned us over and gave us our own way. Men went their own way. If the world had followed God and been obedient to everything, think what a blessed world we'd be living in. Right? So we created the house of misery. We created the situation that is all around us. No wonder we so desperately need a Savior. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. We so desperately need a Savior. We so desperately need something beyond us. We've looked all around the world. People have looked to Washington. They've looked to D.C. They look to the Capitol. They look to the White House. They look around the world looking for hope. I watched as people, after this past election, people were in despair. I read where they actually had to bring counselors to some universities because the students were so distraught, they canceled classes because they couldn't cope. And we have put our hope in a world system that is failing us. people are now, and they're crushed because people have put their hope in men. They've put their hope in a world and put their hope in a government. Some people have put their hope in a denomination. Some people have put their hope in a religion. Folks, I'm here to tell you today there is only one answer. There is only one well from which you can drink where the water's real, and it will quench the thirst of your soul, and it is Jesus. Still in 2017, Jesus is still the answer. Amen? You need Jesus. We desperately need Jesus. And we're all about Jesus, man. It's all about Jesus. He is the answer. We point people to Him. We tell people about Him. Just come to Jesus because He has what you need. And Jesus comes into the house at Bethesda, this house of misery, this house of pain, this place of sickness, and His eyes fall on this man, a certain man. We don't know his name. Been in this condition for 38 years, stuck in the mud, paralyzed, can't walk. We don't exactly know what his condition was, but he couldn't move. How many of you today feel like, I haven't been happy in a long time. I haven't had peace in a long time. I have trouble sleeping at night. My life, and I've been this way a while, and I feel stuck, and I don't know what to do about it. I don't know where to go. I don't know where to turn. I need to get out of where I'm at. I need to get in the water. I need to find an answer. Someone told me to read this book. Someone said do this. And someone watched this videotape or listened to this sermon. I've tried everything. And you're like this man that's laying there by the pool, just a few feet away, you think, from what might help you. But you can't get there. It just doesn't seem to have an answer for you. And here's the danger. When people get into these places, they get in the ruts of their life, we often get comfortable in those places. I read the other day about a homeless man was offered a job and money and a home, and he turned it down. You know why? Because of fear. Fear of the unknown, fear of responsibility, fear of having to stand up, fear of having to actually do something. People often get comfortable in their misery. People often get comfortable in their sickness. People often get comfortable in their mediocrity. People often get comfortable with their failure. And when given an opportunity for success, when given an opportunity to move forward, when given an opportunity to come out, they won't do it. I've seen it over and over and over again. They'll stay right there in that place. And I think that's the key to this message today. This man had been there 38 years and he was filled with excuses. And Jesus came in that place and his eyes fell on that man and he looked at him. And I want you to look at what he did. When Jesus saw him, it says he came over to him and he says, "Do you want to be healed?" Now I think that question is much deeper than we realize. Because it sounds so obvious. Folks, God doesn't ask silly questions. Right? And when Jesus looked at the man and said, "Do you want to be healed?" You can just see the man saying, "No, I'd rather just lay here where I can't move. And, you know, I'd rather stay right here in my misery. Of course I want to be healed." What an obvious question. But it's not so obvious. Because there's a question behind the question. Do you want to be healed? Jesus is asking the man, "Do you really want out of this mess?" I want you to hear this, church. For 38 years, this man has wallowed in this condition. And Jesus is now looking at him and saying, "No, I'm not asking you, do you just want to be healed? I'm asking you, do you really want out of here? Do you really want this?" You know, the old saying, be careful what you wish for. People pray for revival. They don't even know what they're praying for. God, send revival. Send the move of God. Send your glory. Be careful what you're praying for. When God puts you on your face, when God's glory comes and you can't hardly even stand because the glory is so strong, and you're like, that's what you prayed for. We often don't We often want God, I want this, I want healing, I want, but do you really down deep, do you really want it? Sometimes with God, I think sometimes we play games with God around the altars. We like a little touch, but we don't really want a life change. We like God to come and just kind of rub up against us a little bit and have a small encounter, but nothing revolutionary. Nothing that's going to change my habits, my life. Nothing that's going to turn everything upside down. Come on, church. Can we just have a little encounter with God? When the woman touched Jesus, he stopped and said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples were like, "What do you mean, who touched you? People are patting you on the back. People are bumping up against you." The Bible says throngs of crowds were all around him. People were touching him. "Hey, Jesus, way to go. High five. Pat him on the back. There goes Jesus." And the disciples says, we can't answer that question. What do you mean, who touched you? People are everywhere." And Jesus was saying, "No, somebody. Somebody in this crowd really touched me. Somebody showed up today and wasn't playing games. Somebody showed up today and wanted to have church. Somebody showed up today and wanted to be healed. Somebody showed up today and really wanted to be delivered, and I felt virtue go out of me. One person." Say amen. Somebody really touched me. This is what Jesus is looking at. This is what it's all about. He's looking at this man and saying, "What is it you want? You just want somebody to drag you over the water and get your toes a little wet and feel some goosebumps and maybe fit. Do you really want to be healed?" Amen. Now the man doesn't answer the question. I want you to look at what he does, and it tells us volumes about this man's condition. Jesus says, "Do you want to be healed?" Seems like an obvious question. Do you really want out of your condition? And the man says, listen to his answer. "Sir, I don't have anybody to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. And even while I'm coming, another steps down in front of me." Now, I don't know how y'all hear that, but I'm going to tell you how I hear it. "Well, I don't have anybody to help me get in the pool. And every time I start to get in the pool, somebody gets up and runs ahead of me." Come on, church. "I've been laying here and it's in, I'm trying to get in the pool. I'm trying to get healed. And there's so many problems and I can't get on. I can't help myself. I can't do nothing yet." That's what I'm hearing. This man's complaining. This man's bitter. And you can hear it. It's dripping off of his words. "I don't have anybody to put me in the pool. Life's thrown me a curveball and dealt me a bad deal. And that's what you're hearing." Carl Sandburg wrote once, "I have an eagle inside of me that wants to soar. But I also have a hippopotamus in me that wants to wallow in the mud." Come on, church. You want to soar or do you want to wallow in the mud? Do you want to wallow in that condition the devil's talked you into and told you you're a victim and you grew up in a bad home and you didn't have the breaks and this is how it is and it's the system and it's this and that and this is just your deal and you're going to lay there? But Jesus walks by and looks at you and says, "Do you really want out of this?" And he's just complaining. But this struck me when I saw this. Jesus goes right to the point. Here's what I heard. "I don't have anybody to put me in the pool. I don't have anybody to help me. I've got bad breaks. Life's tough. I can't get in the pool." And the Bible says Jesus said, rise, take up your bed and walk. That just floods over me. I just don't know what I'm going to do. Life's so bad. It says, stand up. Just let that wash over you. I just don't know. Like, stand up. There's power in that word. You can lay there, sir, for another 38 years, but I'm telling you right now, God is standing in front of you, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He that was dead and is now alive and evermore, his shadow is all over you. You can lay there in that mess if you want to, or you can stand up. You come here in the house of God where the glory of God is manifested, and you can sit there in that seat and you can wallow in your pity and you can wallow in the mud and you can just sit there and feel sorry for yourself, or you can understand that where two or three are gathered, he is there in the midst, and you can stand up and be healed in the name of Jesus. And receive what God has for you. Do we really believe he's here? I do. Glenn, you really believe that? I do. I believe he's here. And that man is complaining, and Jesus, it's just like, I can see Jesus standing there going, stand up. Amen. Come on, rise up. Rise up. And immediately, the man felt strength flowing into his body as he obeyed that word. Something in that command startled him, shook him, brought him out of the lethargy and indifference and pity that he was in, and raised him up. Stand up. And then he told him, I want you to do something else for me. That old mat that is your crutch, that you've been laying on and you've been wallowing in, I want you to pick it up and I want you to take it with you, because you're never going to need it again. Hear me. Don't leave the mat there, because you're not coming back. Do y'all see this? Because here's what a lot of people do. They have an encounter with God and they stand up, but they leave the mat. Well, just in case. Just in case tomorrow I start hurting again. Or just in case tomorrow, you know, the symptoms come back. Just in case tomorrow situations change. I'm just going to kind of leave this backup plan. Are y'all getting that? Let's leave the mat there, because, and I cannot tell you how many times I've seen God's people brought off a mat and a week later they're laying on it. Or 2 weeks later, a month later, they've crawled back on it. They've crawled back in their condition of whatever it is. And I'm not just talking about physical healing. I'm talking about the whole gamut of things that God can bring us out of, the mats that you can crawl back up, because that's where you're comfortable. It takes courage. Then what did he tell him to do? Walk. Walk. Step into your healing. Walk it out. Begin your journey. Move on to the next thing that God's got for you. This is a life-changing, Melanie, if you'd come. This is a life-changing moment when Jesus shows up and says, you can either stay where you are or you can come out. You can be totally set free and you can be delivered. It's up to you to respond to the word of God. God's already sent his word. We're waiting on God to do something. God's waiting on you. When are we going to believe the word of God? Most churches, you know, the Bible says Peter was in prison, and you know what they were doing? They had gathered together praying for his release. Now this is a church. This is churches. This is how we do. Oh God, Peter's in prison. We're so afraid they're going to kill him. We're afraid they're going to execute him. He's going to be a martyr. Deliver him. Bring him out of the prison. Give us a miracle, God. wonder how long this prayer meeting is going to last for Peter, because I'm really kind of getting tired. Lord, we pray that you touch Peter and help him out. Get him out of that prison. I tell you, just between me and you, I think Peter's probably done for. God, we're believing for a miracle that you're going to set him free and show all the world your glory. You know, for all we know, he might already be dead. Then there's a knock at the door. They open the door. Guess who's standing there? His chains fell off of him. Angels showed up and set him free. And he's standing at the door. And when the girl sees him in the door, she goes, "Ah, it's his ghost. They've already killed him." You're having a prayer meeting for his deliverance. Most people come to church, if there was a mighty miracle around the front of the church, people would go, "Oh, I'm shocked. It's a miracle." You know why? Because we don't expect them. We don't expect them. We got to change that, church. You need to expect the miraculous. Bethesda is a place of outpouring. It's a place of mercy. It's where the glory of God is manifest. God is in this house. Expect him. Some of you that are here today and you need a touch from the Lord, you know what I hear him saying to you? Stand up. Stand up. And right now, if you want to receive that blessing from the Lord, I want you to just stand up. Just stand up. If you need something from God right now, come on, stand up. Stand up right there. Today's my day. Today's my day. This is my moment. This is my hour. Stand up. Hell, I'm coming out of this mess.